As you begin, let's stand together. I'm going to read the scripture for you, but we're going to stand out of reverence for God's word. I'm reading to you from Exodus chapter 31, and it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you and for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days' work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. And on the seventh day, he abstained from work and rested. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on the Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God." Let's pray together. Father, as we look at your word and we look at this particular subject of worship this morning, I pray that you will open our hearts to the truth of it. Give us insights and understanding, I pray, that we might be able to adjust our lives in such a way that it manifests you to the rest of the world. May we truly become light in the darkness. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Human nature being what it is fraught with dangers of extremes. I recognize that the only time generally that I am in balance is when I am flighting from one extreme to the other. For a few moments, I pass through what is called balance. That's our humanity. We tend to be that way. I recognize that I have an excess behavior personality. Having a little is never enough. And there's always more to be had. We're always so much in danger of falling into the caricature of the runner who starts out of the gate running just as hard as he can run, and about halfway through falls on his face because he doesn't have the energy to make it all the way. We're living in lives that are, out of breath lives. We almost daily find ourselves caught in the scramble to make too many appointments, to decide between too many choices, to fulfill too many obligations, to understand too many issues. Consequently, we often find as we move to the end of the day, we're emotionally breathless. We're whipped. We're tired. We're exhausted. It's an exhaustion, though, that goes far beyond the mere physical fatigue. It has a tendency to weigh down our souls. It leaves us with a vague feeling of regret and a growing dissatisfaction. To coin our phrase, we are so busy making a living that we aren't living our lives. We were made for a different way of life, a people created in the image and the likeness of God. We were designed to live lives free of anxious toil. Psalm 127:2 says, "It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing you will starve to death. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest." We see those words. But I wonder, do we really believe those words? Worship. In one of the most basic teaching instruments of the historic church, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we read these words. Let me see if I can get there. "Man's chief end and purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." Grasp that idea, will you? Man's chief end, or his chief purpose, is to glorify God. Okay, we get that. And to enjoy him forever. Let me ask you the question. Do you enjoy God? The bulk of us will see God as this big ugly bully up there waiting for us to make a mistake so he can bat us down and tell us how bad we are. The daily demands of life, the pressing demands of discipleship overwhelms us to the point where we really don't understand what it means to enjoy the Lord. And that's a heavy price to pay for all this activity. I'm going to do a series over the next 5 weeks on worship. Because I think worship is, well, as I titled this message, worship should be the pace setter for our life. Worship ought to establish the pace of living. In the scriptures, we read over and over again of the instructions regarding different aspects of worship. The Sabbath, the feasts, the ceremonies, and so on. There are some mandates by God to the people that we are to do those things and not to neglect them. It's interesting that the whole idea of worship in the scripture lent itself to a feeling of peace and purpose. It's fascinating as you read through the Old Testament scriptures, what we find is that the nation of Israel would walk away from God and they would become more and more conflicted and more at war and more ripping at each other. And then somehow the prophet of God would come and call the nation back. And they would call them, and the first thing that would happen would be a confession of sin and the restoration of worship. And with that restoration of worship came peace and rest. I wrote an article for the paper this week. I didn't write it this week. I wrote it several weeks ago. Well, actually, I think I wrote it about 2 months ago. And I submitted it to the paper. And it came out Thursday. The title of the message is Rethinking Church. You read it. It's interesting to me how God put that one, put this particular Thursday, and I'm going to be preaching on worship, the pace setter, on Sunday. If you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, you see in both those situations, when the nation of Israel walked away from God, they came into bondage. And when God called them back, the first thing he called them back was to worship. It was to relegate the place of confession and restoration. Worship is the normal opening to confession and repentance. It brings back our focus to the one from whom all things come. That's the intent of worship. It centers us again on what's really important. It places all the unimportant stuff outside and allows only real relationship with God on the inside. That's why I call worship the pace setter for our life. It establishes what the pace is going to be. Worship is the time that helps us to slow down, set the pace, so we can finish the race. Hebrews 12:1 says that we are to run with perseverance the race that's set before us. God's people are first and foremost to be people of worship. A follower of Jesus Christ is known for many different characteristics, but the primary one ought to be that of worship. Worship is the clearest expression of what we value. we worship what we value. Remember I said a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, man can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and something else. You either serve God and you serve something else. There's no other options. And worship is that which brings us back to the point that says, what's really important in my life? A Christian should be marked by worship, because worship says God is what's important in my life. We are people who are defined by what we value. What we value is the definition of who we are. I realize it may get a bit uncomfortable, but we have to have a common starting place. And if we decide that this is the truth, that we value what we worship, and what we worship determines our value, it helps to have some idea of where we're going. Jesus taught that we are to value the greatest, what we're to value in the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All your heart. And with? That sounds like worship to me. See, we're taught. God, in his great love for us, teaches us where our values are really supposed to be. Real worship, we place God's worth above everything else. We express our valuing of God, our love for God, by gathering with other of God's people. And we give praise and we give glory to God through the gospel being proclaimed, through it being enacted, in it remembered, in it being celebrated. That's what worship is all about. When you come to church Sunday morning, I hope you come to worship, to express to God his worth above everything else in your life. I hope you don't come to church for what you can get out of it. Worship is not about you. Let me say it again. Worship is not about you. Worship is about saying, God, you are more important than anything else. The bulk of believers have never established the idea, or not developed the idea, that worship really enables them, it encourages them, it involves them in the full experience of God. Worship can and should become really a vital experience in our lives. Romans 12:2 talks about the fact that we're supposed to be renewed in our minds. How do you get that done better than in worship? When we establish God's worth above everything else in our life. Far too many believers simply endure worship. That's not to say that some are experiencing renewal in their worship experience. Renewal really begins with an understanding of worship. Weber, in his book, Worship Old and New, describes worship as a personal meeting with God. Public worship of God, he continues, takes place in the community of the church, the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in the proclamation and enactment of the work of salvation. That's a big, long statement, isn't it? So let's see if we can't make it simpler. Worship, as we're going to be using it this morning, is a personal experience within the context of a public event. In other words, as God's people meet together. So when I'm talking about worship over the next 5 weeks, this is what I'm going to be talking about. A personal experience within the context of a public event. Worship. Worship. It's in this balance that we find worship actually becomes a powerful tool that can lead to a renewal of faith. If we emphasize what's happening to me, the individual approach, it can be very satisfying, but we lose that rich heritage of God's people coming together and the magic of what happens in that. Worship has been central in the life of God's people from the beginning. And it has always been worship setting the pace for people's lives. Let me go back to the text of this morning. If you go back to the text of this morning, let's step back a little bit further. Well, let's go all the way back to chapter 20. In chapter 20, God calls Moses to come up to the mountain. He calls Moses up the mountain. Moses comes up there, and in chapter 20, he lays down the Ten Commandments. In fact, he says he wants him to bring up these tablets, and he writes them with his finger. That's what the text tells us, that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. And then he spends the next few chapters all the rules about the nation of Israel. And then he steps in, I think it's about 25 or 27, he steps in there and he begins to lay out the tabernacle. The tabernacle. The place that God's people are going to meet with God. And he talks about how awesome it's going to be. He talks about the decorations of it. He talks about the maintenance of it. He talks about all the gold in it. And he talks about all those workmen and how great they're going to be and how they have to be the very, 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 very best. Because this is for God. And then he says, and after he gets through laying out all this magnificent plan for the tabernacle, then he says, whoa, wait a minute, stop. You only work 6 days. On the seventh day, you pause for rest and reflection. Don't get lost in the project and miss the purpose of the project. Worship. And then, after he lays that all out, then he gives the Ten Commandments to Moses to take down to the people. Not until he establishes the time of rest. Isn't that interesting? We can see clearly in the priority of the Sabbath that the Lord instructs the Israelites the importance of worship. His exhortation reveals the design of a rhythm of life. In the midst of a holy urgency to build the tabernacle, he says, whoa, stop. Only 6 days. Seventh, you remember the purpose for everything you're doing. God calls us to pursue his work in accordance with his will. It isn't enough to get something done. We have to do God's work God's way. Often we get caught up in just doing the job, getting it done. I'm a compulsive behavior person. When I start doing a project, I'm not happy until that project is done. When I was the CEO of the Christian school we have, When I'd start working on our annual budget and our annual reports, I would start in the morning, and I might go all day and all night. There were lots of nights I'd stay up until 4 in the morning. Because for me, I had to get to the end. I'm compulsive. That's why I don't take lots of medications. It's because I'm compulsive. If I take a little, I might have to have a lot. Worship. You see, we're supposed to stop and pause and rest. I can hear the Israelites now saying, "What do you mean stop? This is for the Lord. We have to finish this project. This is really important. Everybody will know God. If we can get this tabernacle built, everybody will see we love God. This is God's place." And God said, "No, stop. Worship should set the pace for your life." Does worship set the pace of your life? For me, Sunday morning is crucial. Because it allows me to reset me. God gives us three reasons to support His commands here in the Scripture. To keep His Sabbath. Number one, worship cultivates a sense of His presence. I don't need to say anything really more than that. The Lord says through Moses, "You must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and the generation to come so that you may know I am the Lord." Observe the Sabbath, this time of worship and rest. This, so that you remember who I am. Without worship, we lose the knowledge of God. Without worship, the sense of God's presence is only a memory, a dim, distant memory. When we take time to focus on His Word, remember His work, our spirit awakens to the hope that is ours in the sign of the Lord's day. That's not a small thing. As I said, worship recalibrates the guidance system of our lives. It keeps us from the disorientation that comes from overvaluing the stuff of life. Any of you have trouble overvaluing the stuff of life other than me? See, it just becomes, and what Sunday does for me is it says, you know, really, how important is that stuff? Now, Monday, I may have trouble again. But today, I can remember, stuff is not what life is about. God is what life is about. The second promise associated with this command is that worship makes us available for the transforming power of God to renew our minds and to shape the life of Christ within us. Exodus 31:13. If you have your Bible still open, take a look at that. He says, "So you may know that I am the Lord." What are the next three words? Next four words. Who makes you holy? Worship makes us available for that transforming power of God to renew our minds and shape our lives. Without worship, we lose that. This is a day that's designed for rest. We celebrate not only the creation of the world in 6 days, but the new creation of our new lives through the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. See, we talked some about the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath was an agreement between, he says it right here, Israel and God. Israel was supposed to worship on the Sabbath. It was all pointed to a time of rest. Where does our rest come? Our rest comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, we don't have to work for our salvation. Our salvation is a gift. And when we receive that gift, we serve out of love. But when we stop to worship, we recalibrate our lives and we get the opportunity to experience the resurrection of Christ anew. We could spend a lot of time, I suppose, talking about this. In a culture that emphasizes performance, we find it difficult to understand the most significant means of our life transformation comes from being available to God. Your life is transformed not by what you do, not by what you read. Your life is transformed when God sovereignly interacts in your life. Worship. Worship. It puts us in a place where we're open to God, in an attitude that makes us cooperative. That's what worship does. Worship changes us. When we, that's you and I, begin to experience that transforming power of worship in our lives, the congregation will never be the same. As an unbeliever, I thought you weird Christians were just bizarre. Why would you want to go hang around in some building, hear somebody talk to you, and then sing these weird songs, and then you somehow think come out happier? Didn't make a bit of sense to me. When I became a believer and I experienced worship and that power of God changing my life, Sunday morning is my favorite time of the year. Every Sunday morning, it's all new. My very favorite Sunday morning in the world is Easter Sunday morning. Christmas is cool, but it don't hold a candle to Easter for me. Because once I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. See, that's worship. One writer wrote, "This world can only be saved from the political chaos and collapse by one thing. That is worship." What a great statement. We aren't going to fix the world, but I don't care what political party gets in next time around. It ain't going to fix it. I have my hopes. One thing will change the world. When we give God his worth. The third promise is that inherent in keeping with the Lord's Day is one of rest. Rest. Somebody I was talking to this morning was talking about the fact that he was tired. And I said, listen to my sermon. This is for you. Rest. See, worship is a time for rest. It's a rest of satisfaction and contentment that comes from having an eternal perspective on our temporal lives. 1 Peter. I told you, it was perfect for today. Our lives are rooted in the created order and plan of God. So let's come down to this. I know I'm running a little long, so I want to hustle right through this. How can we make worship the pace setter of our lives? First of all, commit yourself to developing a new understanding of worship. What does that mean? Don't allow yourself to think of worship as the same old mundane stuff. You know what makes worship alive? Oh, it's when Jason plays the guitar just right. No, it's when Sarah leads the music just so. No. What makes it mighty, what makes it transformative is you. When you allow the Spirit of God to so touch your heart that all you can do is offer to God you. And I'm telling you, when we have that in this place, we'll go out of here dancing on the clouds. Because that's what worship is. Commit yourself to prepare for worship. How do I prepare for worship? Well, start Saturday night. Go to bed early enough so you wake up rested. How about spending some time in God's Word, meditating on His Word for your life in preparation for Sunday morning? How about when you get up on Sunday morning that you kiss your wife and you hug your kids, and you gather all together, and you say, let's pray together. We're getting the opportunity to go and celebrate God this morning. See, it's all mindset. It's how we think. If we think right, we worship right. If we don't think right, no amount of effort on the worship team's part is going to make it happen. But if you come with a heart to worship and the sound system crashes and the video don't work and the guitar strings break and Sarah loses her voice, we'll still have a great worship service because it isn't dependent on anything other than us exalting God and telling Him His worth. Worship is supposed to be the pace setter of our life. Commit yourself to process weekly worship in the days that follow. When you go home today, how about thinking through what we talked about this morning, what I talked about this morning and you listened to? How about thinking through what God is saying to you? Maybe He's saying, you know, you got a little sin in your life you need to be really taken care of. When that communion plate was passed by you, maybe you were thinking, you know, I'm really teed off at so-and-so. And the Spirit of God is saying, you need to deal with that. Process worship in the days that follow. Not just the preaching. process what it meant when the offering plate went by. We're going to talk more about that. Whoops. Worship, the pace setter of your life. If you feel like you're running so many directions, you can't figure out where you're supposed to go. Well, if you think that you got too many appointments and too many things on your plate and too much happening, too many decisions, too many things I got to work through, add worship to your life. Regular, weekly worship. Because that'll slow you down. That'll focus you on the right things. It'll recalibrate your thinking. You'll all of a sudden be able to put the important things first and the urgent things somewhere else. I'm challenging you to worship. Challenging you to find a place when you gather together with God's people and celebrate the worth of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time. Thank you for this opportunity to gather as your people, rethink all the urgency of the world, and put it in the right perspective in the fact that you are God. And we servants. Move us today, I pray, to true worship. We pray in your name.